What are the voices that I'm hearing in my head? Can I actually, like Mel Robbins would say, high five myself for showing up today? Some days are going to be messy. Some days are going to be amazing. Some days are going to be pretty flat. And I say now, 20 years later, that I dance with chronic fatigue. Sometimes it's fast and sometimes it's slow. Sometimes chronic fatigue, you know, really flares up.
Cue music. Places, everybody, places. We're starting in 3, 2.
Welcome to the Autoimmune Hour, where we look at the rise of autoimmune disorders. I've brought together top experts that range from doctors, specialists, nutritionists, researchers, and even those recovering from autoimmune to bring you the latest, most up-to-date information about autoimmunity and how to live your life uninterrupted.
Thank you for joining us here on the Autoimmune Hour with Sharon Saylor. Always seek sound legal, medical, and or professional advice regarding any problems, conditions, and any of the recommendations you see, hear, or read here on the Autoimmune Hour, Understanding Autoimmune and Life Interrupted Radio. Join the Autoimmune Hour's Courage Club. Sign up now at understandingautoimmune.com. Now, back to your host, Sharon Saylor.
Welcome, everyone, to the Autoimmune Hour. I'm Sharon Saylor from SharonSaylor.com. And as always, it's an honor and pleasure to be with you here on another Autoimmune Hour. Oh, my goodness. I got my tea here. I know I listened to you guys. I stopped mentioning I had tea. I was always here, but I stopped mentioning it. Now you guys always want to make sure I have my tea here. So I do. And you like my new mug? See, it's the Autoimmune Show. Isn't that cool? Yep. So today I have just green tea. I know I listened to you guys about chai tea. I still like chai tea though. So anyway, that's my little tea update, everybody. And I am so excited because we've got a guest from the other side of the world. How's that? They're so amazing that we were able to find a time that matched up. And her name is Shauna Kennedy. And I'm going to put for the video, if you're on YouTube and the channel on YouTube, I'm going to show you the cover of the book, but I'll read it first. It's called The Life Plan, Simple Strategies for Building Confidence in a Changing World. And see, there's the cover if you're on YouTube or on video. Isn't that pretty? And you might be saying, Sharon, goodness sakes, what's that about? Well, I got an amazing copy of it. I read it over and it's a great book. It's partially life story, partially workbook or action plan, should I say, because there's places, there's great questions in there and places to take notes in it. And I just loved it. And as I was reading the book, she is a thriver of CFS, chronic fatigue syndrome. So welcome, Shauna. Thanks for being on the show.
Thanks you for having me. It's wonderful that we can do this from the other side of the world with modern technology.
Absolutely.
And share our stories. It's fantastic.
Now you're in Melbourne, Australia.
I am.
Yeah, great. And I'm here on the West Coast of the United States. And I just love that. So I'm glad it's not too early for you, but thanks for getting up and doing the show.
It's my pleasure.
Now, I wanted to give your bio a little bit here because you are one of the foremost strategic executive life and health coaches in Australia. And you work with clients' well-being in their whole lives, and you specialize in executive strategy, transition, values, vision, and overcoming burnout and life planning for individuals. And that's what this new book is about. First off, as I was reading in the beginning of the book, you talk about your CFS diagnosis. Tell us a little bit about how that came about, mm-hmm. and then we'll dive into. You have a couple of tips of what brought you out the other side.
Yeah, fantastic. Well, you know, I was brought up by, you know, European parents where it was all about go hard or go home, you know, work really hard. If you sit down, you're sort of a bit lazy. So it was that real work ethic that was bred into me, I think. And so in my 20s, when I was working with elite athletes, I was in a sponsorship role and my job was really to Jerry Maguire, buy and sell as many athletes as I could and get them into the brand. And I worked around high performance people for a long time. And because sports are always on the weekend, you know, I just kept working. I'd just go to a sporting event and I go to parties and, you know, I had absolutely no regard for my health or any boundaries or reading any signs of, you know, overdoing things and stress and burnout. And, you know, this is 20 years ago. So 20 years ago, well-being was really not talked about. So there was really no education on it either. So I just burnt the candle at both ends had the headaches, you know, when you feel like I maybe shouldn't go to that party, but, you know, I'll go because I should go. And I just kept pushing and pushing and getting bigger headaches, bone aches, you know, muscle aches. And I kept pushing through the mud saying, you know, go hard or go home, you know, get that work ethic going. And it cost me my health so that one day I just could not get my head off the pillow. And I was going to the doctor. They were saying, well, you've got all the symptoms of AIDS. You've got the symptoms of MS. You've got the symptoms of lupus. We're going to have to test you for absolutely everything. And nothing came back. And then they said, you've got chronic fatigue syndrome.
Yes, chronic fatigue is always sort of the definition of exclusion. If it's nothing else, let's put it there.
Yeah, so it's really confusing. And there was absolutely no literature on it 20 years ago. So it was a really awful time for a 30-year-old girl to be saying, what's wrong with me and what do I do? I'll do anything to fix it. But there was no pathway through. And nobody, no doctors really knew about it. It was all very new. So for me, it was a really confronting time. And while I was sick, I was thinking about my athletes. I actually got myself a life coach to start with because I thought, well, I don't need a psychologist. I don't need a counselor. It's like my body is broken, but I'm spiraling into a massive depression because being such a high achiever, you know, for me, opening the fridge was hard work. I definitely couldn't make my bed. I couldn't drive my car. I could hardly shower myself.
Wow.
I need a coach in my corner. And after working with elite athletes for so long, I knew the value of having a coach and how they could really support me. So that was my first thing that I did. And then I thought, I really need to unpack myself completely, the way I think, the way I move, the way I describe success to myself, and repack myself as a new human being with health first, mental health, physical health, emotional health, and spiritual health cannot be at the bottom. It has to be at the top of the list. So with the coach, I really started that big process of looking in the mirror and resetting myself as best I possibly could. Diet, the way that I moved, the way they slept, journaling, meditation, moving my body instead of running all the time, started just to walk to the letterbox. So, you know, it took a long time, obviously, just to get moving. But the diagnosis was quite catastrophic because nobody could help me. Nobody knew about it. You're 30, you're supposed to be, you know, in this incredible job, flying in helicopters to sporting events, and all of a sudden it's all taken away.
Wow. And beyond just the physical part of it, I heard in your voice there that it's all taken away, the emotional, mental, and spiritual toll that diagnosis must have taken.
Yeah, and it really prompted me, and in the beginning of the book, it starts with, you know, who are you without your job? And I had the job taken away. I had friends taken away because I couldn't go out anymore. I couldn't go out at night times. So who am I without all of these things? And that was a really big question to go through with my coach. And then I was thinking of the athletes. Well, who are they without their sport? You know, I saw an enormous amount of destruction and depression in my athletes over the 10 years. And it actually prompted me to start studying very slowly and becoming a qualified life coach.
What I found fascinating in your book too, one of the running themes through it is simplification. How can I simplify so many areas of my life was how one of the major themes I took from reading the book was about simplification and still maintaining a high quality and a wonderful life. And I think sometimes people think of that as two separate things. So as you began to simplify your life, tell us, what was your awakening point of that?
Yeah, I really realized that less is best. And I learned about mindfulness and I learned to appreciate what I had rather than constantly striving for more, more everything, more success, more athletes, more deals, more clients, more everything. I actually decided that what I would prefer to do and what would be better for my health is when I'm doing something, try and enjoy it. think of the long race, the marathon of life, and pace myself. So I really started to ride on my mirror, you know, embrace the pace. Stop being the hamster on the wheel. Stop having that rushing women syndrome where we have to rush everywhere all the time. And just slow my pace down in mentally, physically, and emotionally. And I'm a huge high achiever. You know, I've written 7 books. I've got a couple of companies now. I've raised 2 gorgeous children. I've been married for 19 years. And I really try to achieve by compartmentalizing, to being very mindful of what I'm doing, and every single day putting my health and well-being first. So making decisions that really support me, whether it be how I eat, what I eat, when I eat, how I move, when I sleep, how I sleep, all of those things, where the boundaries are with technology, what I say yes to, what I say no to, everything in the book is actually all of the small, tiny skills that I've decided to go and master, rather than more time management, sales skills, marketing skills, et cetera. It was how to build an incredible life and achieve naturally by looking after my health. Because if we're not turning up being the best version of ourselves, we're not able to give, we're not able to deliver what we want to be delivering.
Absolutely. And as I read through the book, there are many, many tips and techniques. If someone just listened to you talking about your long list of things that you do now, I'm sure you didn't just jump in doing them all at once.
No.
If someone was to say, okay, what would be the number one tip that you would say, this is the critical one to start with?
Well, there's 2 that I think are most important, and that's mirror work and it is your values. So mirror work was me going to the mirror and becoming friends with myself, which was really difficult. It was being kind, being empathetic, being patient, loving the human being that was looking back at me, and treating myself and speaking to myself like I would my best friend. And for all the listeners and watchers out there, you know, I think that's the first thing to do is think, what is my inner critic telling me all of the time? What is the quality of life through my inner critic? What are the voices that I'm hearing in my head? Can I actually, you know, like Mel Robbins would say, high five myself for showing up today? Some days are going to be messy. Some days are going to be amazing. Some days are going to be pretty flat. And I say now, 20 years later, that I dance with chronic fatigue. Sometimes it's fast and sometimes it's slow. Sometimes chronic fatigue, you know, really flares up within me when I've done too much, and I see the warning sign now and I slow everything down again and put the boundaries in a little bit tighter again. But it's really in the mirror when I look into my eyes, is that's when I see where I'm at with my autoimmune. Is, you know how you can tell in your eyes?
Oh, absolutely.
You know, you get that wash over your eyes. And I think that's a really beautiful thing for people to start doing. We live with ourselves 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, for every day that we're on the planet. We are the only person that we are present with the whole time. Other people come and go. So I really decided it is time to become friends with the person that's with me 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And that's a really big journey, and it's a beautiful one to start so that you have this nice relationship. And the second one is your values, really knowing the order of what's most important to you. So a lot of people will know the company values that they work for. Yes, I know the company values of the bank that I work for or the business that I work for, but they haven't done the work or thought about what are their own set of values, their own code of conduct, their own home base. So when I really did that, which is in the book, and you pick your top 3, you know, I've had a sticky note here for 20 years that tells me my values every single day, that's on my computer here to remind me.
Another sticky note. I have them all over my computer.
And it's also on my mirror in Texter. And it's also on my car dashboard on a little sticky note. This is the boss, my values. Health is first. What are you doing today, Shanna Kennedy, for your mental health, your physical health, your emotional health, and your spiritual health? What are you consciously doing? What are you consciously not doing to support your health? because that has to be first, because the minute that it goes down, you cannot show up as a coach, as a mother, as a friend, as a daughter, or any of those roles that we play. So that's always first. So you're drinking your tea. I'm drinking my hot water here to start the day. Always a cup of hot water with a bit of lemon in it. So there's rhythm and ritual and habits to really support mental health. You know, what I'm telling myself every single day. What are my affirmations of the day? They're all on the mirror, so I can't forget them. So in the shower, I want that affirmation for today. There are things for my physical health, which are the three M's, you know, make my bed, move my body, mindfully breathe. So I've already done my hour's walk. I've done some nice breathing to calm the nervous system down. So just these little tiny things that really help. The second thing that I have for my values is family happiness. So if my family's happy, that's fantastic, but I can't make my family happy. What I can do is show up for them, though, being the best version of myself. Am I being a fun and inspiring wife? Because that's what he married. He didn't marry a burnt out, exhausted, grumpy lady. He married a fun person. So where is the fun factor? Am I being a wife? You know, he doesn't need a mother. He wants a wife. So I have to really check in on myself all the time. Am I being a warm and nurturing mum? My kids just want a hug and a donut and some afternoon tea. They don't need me to be critiquing everything and finishing their sentences for them, judging them the whole time as they navigate being teenagers. Am I being safe and warm and nurturing, but firm and fair? So that's my role. And then, you know, am I being fun for my friends? Am I being a drainer, or am I being, you know, open and non-judgmental? So the last one for me, the third one, is achievement. As you can tell, I'm probably I'm an achievement junkie. I, you know, I love setting goals. I want to smash them. There's sticky notes everywhere. There's 7 books floating around the world. There's vision board kits I've got online now too. It's just enormous amount of coaching plus speaking, where I travel around Australia and speak all the time. So I've got a couple of businesses. And for me, achievement is, did I do the breathing today? Did I walk today? Every time I washed my hands today, which is 6 or 7 times a day we go to the bathroom, did I take 3 nurturing, grounding breaths for my nervous system? And did I look in the mirror and check in with my best friend? So that achievement is more important to me now than selling another 1,000 books tomorrow. So I've tried to make achievement a healthy version where, yes, I do need to achieve, but I need to put the value on health first before sales, marketing, and helping others.
Wow. There's a lot to unpack there.
Yeah.
We're going to take a quick commercial break before, and when we come back, we're going to talk to Shauna Kennedy and some more about her great book. It's called The Life Plan: Simple Strategies for Building Confidence in a Changing World. We'll be right back.
Life Interrupted Radio will return after these messages from our sponsors. It's great sponsors like these that keep this show coming to you every week. Be sure and stop by lifeinterruptedradio.com to learn more.
Hi, this is Sharon, and of course you know me from here on the Autoimmune Hour. Maybe you don't know I'm also an author. My latest book is for kids. It's Pinky Chenille and the Rainbow Hunters, a winner of a 5-star Reader's Favorite review. It's perfect for your early reader and a great bedtime story for your young adventurers. Check it out over at pinkychenille.com. That's PinkyChenille.com. See you there.
Research shows we apologize up to 10 times a day, and most of the time, we say sorry as a response to someone else's mistake. What if we thanked people instead of all that unnecessary apologizing? So instead of saying, "Sorry, I'm rambling," you say, "Thank you for listening." Join us at projectforgive.com, a free non-religious resource on global forgiveness.
Do you want to be a better leader, have better relationships, become more self-aware,
be a better communicator? Hi, I'm Sharon Saylor, best-selling author, professional speaker, and executive coach. And my life passion is empowering professionals to be the best that they can be. After years of working with professionals, I've discovered the 7 things nobody is telling you that can cost you your clients, sales, and even your career. And I want to give it to you free. You've heard my show, you know my passion, and maybe we'll be working together sooner rather than later. So go grab this ebook now to find out the 7 things that's costing you big time over at SharonSaylor.com/radio gift.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Autoimmune Hour. I'm Sharon Saylor from SharonSaylor.com. And we're talking to Shauna Kennedy, and she is one of Australia's foremost strategic executive life and health coaches. And she has her latest book out. She mentioned in her first session there, as we were talking in the first segment there, that she is the author of 7 books, and her latest book is called The Life Plan. And part of it was how we talk to ourselves. Now, as you were going through all of your simple steps and how you talk to yourself, I had a couple of quick questions. One is, I heard you call yourself by your given name instead of I am or I will or anything like that. You were calling yourself, I guess, in third person, talking to yourself in third person. Is that one of the techniques that you think we should employ?
I really sort of learned a lot of that from Matthew McConaughey, actually. You know how he always says, you know, come on, McConaughey, lift, you know, is mm-hmm. really trying to, and he talks about your role model being your 10-year-older self, the bigger, better version of you as the role model that you're constantly trying to improve on. So he is quite well known for giving himself pep talks. So I don't do it all the time, but sometimes I do. I give myself a bit of a pep talk and I talk to Shauna Kennedy, come on, lift. It's time to stop thinking like that, or, you know, stop criticizing yourself about that. You know, be kind, be compassionate, be empathetic. You're a human being. You're not a human doing. So, yeah, it is something that I use occasionally, yes.
Okay. This is like, well, that's fascinating. I talk to myself in the third person quite a bit, and I did not know Matthew McConaughey did it as well. So I guess we're in good company, right? Mm-hmm. So as you came up with your different affirmations and your values, what if people are saying, well, that sounds really cool, but I don't know where to start. Like, wow, she just came up with 3 values that were important to her. I know in your book, you talk about it. So can you explain how we can begin to define our values for us?
Yeah. So in the book, there's a list of, you know, 25 values, I think, and it's really a process of elimination, because it's like, what is most important to you? So, you know, maybe fame is not important to me, so I can take fame off the list, or professional or wealth is not important to me, so I'm going to take that off the list. But economic security is important to me, so I'll keep that on the list. So it's a process of elimination till you get to your top 3, which you think, that's really important to me. If I'm not achieving every single day or have that sense of achievement, I'm actually not a very happy person. It's just in my blood. It's how I was raised. It was all around achievement. So I've just had to make it a healthier word, I suppose. But I think when you come to your top 3, that's what you sit with for a while and think, yeah, this is my lighthouse. This is my guide on how to make very simple decisions every single day on what I am doing, what my habits are that support that or take me away from that. So once you know your 3 values, is the decision you're making in the next minute supporting those or taking you away? So I know if people say, come out tonight, you know, we're having dinner at 9 o'clock at night, I will probably say no, because I know that with autoimmune, with chronic fatigue, that will tip me over for 3 days because it's too late for me. So if it's too late, I'm just going to miss out, and I have to be okay with that, because it's really not helping my physical, mental, or emotional health. So it becomes easier to make decisions. Is this really supporting my values, or is it taking me away?
That's wonderful to hear. And I love that you're giving us specific examples, because oftentimes if we're not used to talking to ourselves in a positive and nurturing way, and the first time someone says, do it with a mirror, it's like it's almost feeling, yeah, feeling a little bit, when I first did it, it felt a little bit like a fraud. It's like, what? Or also, oh gosh, I hope nobody's watching kind of thing. It was very illuminating about where my current values were at that time, as far as like one of my thoughts was, gosh, I hope I'm really alone right now.
Yeah, and I hope nobody's looking. I was the same, you know, when my coach asked me to do that, I said, I can't, like, I can't even look at my eyes. I can sort of look at the periphery, but I can't actually look into my eyes in the mirror. It's so confronting. And she said, you've got to keep practicing. You've got to keep going every single day. Just turn up to the mirror, turn up and think about how kind you're being to that person. How would you look at your best friend? And so over the years, I love looking in the mirror, which sounds ridiculous when you say it out loud. But every time I wash my hands and I look up, so every time we wash our hands, we're ignoring the person in the mirror, correct?
Yes.
You know, we're not checking in. We're washing our hands really quickly and running back to the computer. And we could use that time to wash our hands slowly and be present. We could take some breaths to calm the nervous system. And we could just raise our eyes up to look in the mirror and say, how are you going? Oh, you look a little pasty, or you look a bit tired, or you're on fire, or this is awesome, or high five, you know, you just had an amazing coaching session. And then I'd walk back to the computer, I put some essential oils on, and then I start with the next person. So if I didn't have that circuit breaker, I would be absolutely exhausted by the end of the day. But because I have those mini circuit breakers, I call them stopping at the Gatorade station on the marathon of the day to just reground, to recheck. Because, you know, as you know, we were talking earlier, when we have stress in the body, that's when the autoimmune flares. So what I've done is build a habit in to really help calm my nervous system down 6 or 7 times a day. Not going and meditating for an hour, just taking 3 breaths 6 or 7 times a day in and looking in the mirror and checking in and being kind, I find at the end of the day, I'm not exhausted at all.
And that's what I love about our beautiful physical system. I just find it so fascinating for me to be able to take, as you say, 3 breaths, even 1 can cause an amazing shift if we take it slowly. And sometimes even making a noise, I say, don't, you know, choose in what public venue you make a noise, but sometimes even making a noise, an audible exhale, like, oh, yeah, or something like that, it's so refreshing. And I love how quickly it can reset our nervous system.
I think it's euphoric. I've never taken drugs in my life, but sometimes when I take my breaths, that, you know, that big breath, I'm like, oh, that must feel like when someone takes a drug or something, but I can get it through oxygen. And when you really practice the deep diaphragmatic breaths and you have a beautiful, long, slow exhale, the whole nervous system reacts and it says, oh, everything's okay.
Yes, the exhale is where the body relaxes, and that's the longer you can prolong that. It's just amazing how quickly that the body can shift, and then the mind, the mental, spiritual, and emotional parts seem to follow right along.
This is a habit that we can do at home, washing our hands. We can do it when we're on an aeroplane. There's a mirror there where no one's looking in it. Any person's house that you go to has a bathroom where you wash your hands and you could look up and look in the mirror and do your breathing and check in. This is a secret little game that I'm playing with myself, my best friend, every day, all day. And what I find is I don't feel stress anymore. I might be really busy, but I never say it's stress. I'm just live a beautiful, full life rather than I'm busy and stressed. Because my diary is full every minute of the day. until I go to bed, basically, with a couple of businesses and kids and sport and everything else that I'm juggling. I just breathe through it 1 hour at a time, one bathroom break to the next bathroom break. And it just means you live very mindfully, but you achieve an enormous amount in your day because you've paced yourself.
I think pacing is one of the things I learned with the dermatomyositis. Like you said, with your chronic fatigue, sometimes you just couldn't get out of bed. And you, I did learn to pace myself. That's really true. I wanted to shift gears here, and I want to make sure we have enough time. I have lots of little stickers on the book here, so if you're looking at it on YouTube, you can see that. I wanted to talk about boundaries, because that was an important critical change in my well-being and on my thriving, was learning what is a boundary. And let's talk about how you go about helping, coaching people through understanding what is a boundary and how to set them.
Yeah, well, boundaries for me are like having the white picket fence around me that protects me. It's like, you know, you've got that beautiful tomato plant, you put the fence around and you only give tomatoes when you open the gate. So it's really protecting your energy and your mindset. And I think for a lot of people, they don't have any emotional boundaries. They don't have any technology boundaries for themselves. Boundaries about work, boundaries about friends, boundaries about how long you speak to your mum on the phone. So for me, it's all about protecting my energy, because chronic fatigue is all about your fuel tank, your energy. So my energy is so precious. It is about what activities and how am I structuring myself and setting boundaries, allowing yourself to say no, the gracious no, giving people, like if my mum rings and she wants to talk for an hour, but it's too exhausting for me, I'll say, mum, I've just got 10 minutes, but I'd love to chat to you for 10 minutes. Not giving the hour. It's too much for me. It's too exhausting for me. It is really about learning to switch technology off, because I find that's incredibly exhausting. So making sure that, you know, I never have the phone in the bedroom. The bedroom is for sleeping. So the phone never comes to bed. It's in the ensuite. At 8 p.m. at night, it's turned off, goes to the ensuite. Do not be touching that on the couch. Be doing one screen, not triple screening. So people have television, phone, and iPad going at the same time. That's overload for the senses. So just having those simple habits really, really helps. You know, I work from home and have for 20 years. The minute I shut this door, that's it. Work is finished. It's you can't go back in until tomorrow. So really thinking of the commute down the hallway just to the family room is, you know, that's it. You've finished work for the day. So really having small, simple structures and giving yourself the permission to say no, to set some boundaries for yourself, I think is one of the most powerful things that we can do, rather than having that disease to please everybody, and really protecting the asset, which is yourself first, right. So that you can show up.
Absolutely. And I wanted to circle back around, it's as you were mentioning about your mom, and saying very politely and very lovingly and very kindly, you could hear it in her voice, that I only have 10 minutes. And I think, what a beautiful way that you don't have to explain yourself. You don't have to apologize. You don't have to, that's just what it is. And I love that. I think sometimes people think about boundaries and they have to go into paragraphs of apologies and sorries and stories about why. And I'm thinking, you could have used that time to connect.
Yeah. And I think that's what people want to justify their decision to say no. So, you know, for example, on Saturday night, there's a big football night. It's a magic show thing for my kids. And I just said, oh, that's really not good for my health. So I just rang the organizer and I said, look, you know, it's really unfortunate. I can't make it. I didn't go into why or making some excuse up or lying or anything. I just said, I just can't make it that night. She says, oh, that's okay. That's fine.
I've read it.
I mean, we can keep it simple.
I read a quote somewhere. I'm sure it was on social media or something, but it just said, you'd be surprised. I'm paraphrasing here, community, but it was something about you'd be surprised at how much you think everybody's thinking about you, but they're not.
Absolutely. Nobody's thinking about you for a minute, not even for 60 seconds. It's like, oh, she's not coming. I'll put her off the list.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, check here.
I've got more things to do now. So we really think that people are thinking about us, and we worry about people's perception of us when no one's really thinking about us. So really turning that around, and I had to work with a coach on this, to just protect the asset, which is myself, because no one's thinking about you. No one's talking about you if you don't come to dinner, or if you miss something. It's like, oh, she's not here. Okay. That's it. They're not saying, well, what is she doing? And why isn't she coming? And the people, it's everyone's busy.
Everyone's busy. And I had a coach, a longtime coach. I've always thought at first when he originally said this to me, I thought, oh, that's harsh. But he said, you know, people are just so busy with their own lives. It's how can they utilize other people? And I was like, wow, that's pretty harsh. But then as I thought about it, I thought, no, that's really what's happening when, you know, it wasn't about me. It was about them. And that's fine. It's great. I love that idea. For me, it really worked. It was like, it gave me permission to set boundaries. Mm-hmm. Then it was an interesting thing when I went, oh, okay, well, then I'm going to set boundaries around that.
It's a permission. It's a permission, isn't it? It's like, what would you tell your best friend if she said, if I go to that football night, I'm going to be so tired the next day and feel like I've been hit by a truck? You'd say to your best friend, oh, don't go. Don't go. You're better off having an early night or an early dinner with a friend than going out to that big night. That's what you'd say to your best friend. So why don't we give ourselves permission to protect the one thing we need so badly, which is our energy, our emotional fuel, our physical fuel, our mental fuel. And we just sabotage it by worrying about what other people think.
Fantastic. Yeah, so true. And which is a wonderful segue into my next little tab here in your book called Energy Toolkit. As I was reading the Energy Toolkit, I was thinking about, wow, how similar these are. Like, it's a wonderful book. I'm going to show it again, The Life Plan, Simple Strategies for Building Confidence in a Changing World. And I was reading this Energy Toolkit, and I was thinking about a blog post I wrote for understandingautoimmune.com. And a lot of these things were the same types of things that are how we get well, how we maintain our well-being, and how we thrive as someone with a diagnosis. And I'm mm-hmm. thinking about these. And the first one on top of your energy toolkit is sleep. And I loved what you said about this, people with three screens and the problems with all of that, and thinking about how it goes beyond the screens. And we don't have to talk about this because I'm not an expert in it, but we've had Dr. Ann Hill on the show about, not only is it the light and the sort of the hyping up of our systems being around it, but also all of the electromagnetic fields that are surrounding us, and then we expect to be able to get into bed and immediately unwind. So I loved your comments here about sleeping is keeping your bedroom for sleeping only. That was, you know, I was like, how many people have a hard time doing that?
Yeah. And you know, I think about what is this, how can I maximize sleep? Because that's better than taking any pill, right? The body needs sleep. And when it's getting good sleep, it's like turning the dishwasher on and the body gets to clean, detoxify, etc. So why do I keep messing around with the dishwasher by checking my phone in bed and firing up the dirt again, which is the breaking news, Instagram, Snapchat, Twitter, TikTok, everything? So it's like you're trying to wind down, yet you're putting full stimulation in. It's like a baby, you know, when the baby is trying to get the baby to sleep, you don't go waving things in front of its face, you know, and expecting it to go to sleep. We're human beings. We need to slowly come down. So by just switching the phone off at 8 o'clock at night, it allows me to just start that process in the brain of, it's time to switch off from the world. Yes, you can watch a TV show, but it's time to slow down. Yeah. It's time to stop just shoving in more images, more news, more fear into the body and shutting it down. So then when I do go to bed, it's really nice. You know, I do some breathing. I usually write in my gratitude book. And if the last things I'm thinking about is I'm so grateful I have a beautiful warm bed, that's very different than, oh, Kim Kardashian's done this, right. You know, and having to process that image. So I think for people, if they're reading, I really like them to read a novel rather than a self-help book, because then the brain's trying to process all night.
Oh,
I like them to
a nice novel, read. Not a scary novel.
A nice novel. But whatever it does that makes you feel like, okay, I'm really ready to go to sleep. And to protect that as much as you can, because no pill is going to give me that. It's really that the quality of the hours. So, you know, I always go to bed at 9:30 at night so I can get up at 6 to exercise. And if I don't exercise, I feel like I've been hit by a truck for the whole day. If I do not move, it is mud for the day for me.
Yeah, it's important. And Deborah Poneman suggests a couple of things as well. One is being aware of how much ambient light is really in your bedroom, whether it's not blackout curtains or a night light, or I have all sorts of devices that add light. I was surprised when I did a light audit of my bedroom, how light it really was. And the idea that sometimes, not this isn't all, but what surprised me with my light audit was how much light that when I took a lot of that out or changed it out to be a better type of light, I woke up. I think what I'd been doing is sort of squishing my eyes shut, trying to get that extra light out, because a few days after I did the light audit, took things out of the room, I was amazed that I didn't wake up sort of with that tension in my face. And I had thought maybe I'd been grinding my teeth, but my dentist said, no, you're not grinding your teeth. And I realized now I was squishing my face. So
fascinating. And also breathing, you know, when people wake up at 2 o'clock in the morning and you can't get back to sleep and you start really, the brain fires up and it goes into that fast forward motion. And it's analyzing and dissecting, and it's catastrophizing usually, because then when you wake up in the morning, you're like, oh, I shouldn't have worried about that. That was silly. We catastrophize. And when I worked with my coach a long time ago, I said, you know, I wake up at 2 o'clock in the morning and I start thinking about everything. And she said, but you're still resting. So don't get so upset that you've lost sleep, because I get very upset that I didn't have a good night's sleep. And that means I feel terrible and chronic fatigue's coming back. And she said, you're still resting, so you need to breathe through it and go into a mantra. So I think it's in the book there somewhere. There's the loving kindness mantra. You know, may I be safe, may I be happy, may I be healthy. And the mantra, you start with yourself and then you go to the next person in your life. So my husband, I go, may he be safe, may be he happy, may be he healthy. Then I go through each child and then the dog and then my parents, and then the suburb, and then Australia, and then the world, and I'm asleep. Because I've said the mantra directly to someone else and it keeps getting bigger. And so that does not allow my brain to start thinking about work and catastrophizing.
It does start really great at stopping the rumination, isn't it?
Wow. Yeah.
And then I wanted to go on to one of your next energy toolkits here, because I think it's really important that a lot of people don't think about, is hydrate. And hydrate throughout the day. And I love this idea where I combine that with the idea of the washing of the hands as it becomes, combining it as becoming sort of a, in my mind, I made it a ritual. I know that might sound weird, going to the restroom as a ritual, but I did make it as a ritual. And that idea of how often maybe we are dehydrated, that was a surprising to me.
Yeah, we really are, aren't we? We might drink a lot of coffee, etc. But I think we forget water. We just forget beautiful warm water going through our body. And so for me, every time I wash my hands and I do my breathing and I look in the mirror, I'm sure you've all heard of habit stacking, is where you're already doing something and you keep adding onto it to make it a better habit. So we're already washing our hands. So the habit stack could be, we'll add breathing Another habit stack is I'm going to look in the mirror. And the next habit stack is I'm going to have a glass of water. And then I'm going to open the bathroom door to the next hour and a half of opportunity in my life. That's my routine just for going to the bathroom. So it's probably the only most solid routine that I have, because it's like doing the marathon every day and stopping at the Gatorade station. And that's the routine at the Gatorade station, because I do not want to have dinner with my kids and my husband exhausted. So that is the one thing that stops me being exhausted. And if you have a glass of water before you open that door, so there's a glass of water in there, there's a glass there at the tap as well. And this has all come over time. This was not all, yep, let's do this. It was trying to do one thing at a time and being comfortable with it and then stacking something else on. It's a little bit like in the shower, you know, you can finish your shower. I used to have a bottle of water in the shower as well. So my shower has, you know, a tongue scraper. It's usually got a bit of music on as well. And it's a there's a bottle of water, so I can drink a bottle of water in the shower. And I do my affirmations there and some breathing. So you're already showering every day. So if you're in the shower, you can either think about your day and get very stressed about what's coming up, or you could breathe. You could have a beautiful routine that's got nothing to do with work and feel like you've had time to yourself before you've started the day.
Mm, that's beautiful. Absolutely wonderful. And just a little note that for water, because a lot of times people say, well, I drink a lot during the day, but there are a lot of purchase types of drinks that really aren't that hydrating. So
yes.
You want to, and if you're curious about hydration, go back to the show that we did on the book Quench. That was really a wonderful session that we talked about hydration, and very eye-opening to me about many people go around the world chronically dehydrated and they don't even know it. Oh my goodness. Mm-hmm. We're just down to the last 5 minutes or so. We need to take the next couple of minutes for a quick commercial break. And when we come back, we're going to talk to Shauna some more about her final thoughts on what she'd like to leave us with, and also find out how and where we can get the book. So we'll be right back.
Life Interrupted Radio will return after these messages from our sponsors. It's great sponsors like these that keep this show coming to you every week. Be sure and stop by lifeinterruptedradio.com to learn more.
Hi, this is Sharon, and of course you know me from here on the Autoimmune Hour. Maybe you don't know I'm also an author. My latest book is for kids. It's Pinky Chenille and the Rainbow Hunters, a winner of a 5-star reader's favorite review. It's perfect for your early reader and a great bedtime story for your young adventurers. Check it out over at pinkychenille.com. That's PinkyChenille.com. See you there.
Research shows we apologize up to 10 times a day, and most of the time, we say sorry as a response to someone else's mistake. What if we thanked people instead of all that unnecessary apologizing? So instead of saying, sorry, I'm rambling, you say, thank you for listening. Join us at projectforgive.com, a free non-religious resource on global forgiveness.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Autoimmune Hour. I'm Sharon Saylor from SharonSaylor.com, and I'm here with Shauna Kennedy, and she is one of Australia's foremost strategic executive life coaches, and she's also a health coach. And as you could tell, she's really walked the walk. You know, she's not just talking about things that maybe she learned somewhere, but she's really walks the walk. And that's what I like about her and her book. And she has chronic fatigue syndrome and has been able to be a thriver. As you've heard, she's the author of 7 books and runs 2 businesses, as well as has a thriving family. Oh my goodness, I get sort of tired just thinking about all of that. As you think about your book, it's called The Life Plan, Simple Strategies for Building Confidence in a Changing World. What are a couple of thoughts that you really want to leave people with?
I think that people need to think of the long road, the life plan. And, you know, we have a plan for our business, or, you know, elite athletes have a sporting plan, but people don't have a life plan. They haven't thought about their 10-year, their 20-year strategy. So my 20-year plan, which is what I have, takes me to when I'm 70 at the moment. So I'm thinking about my 70-year-old self all the time. What is good for her? Why did I go for a walk today in 0 degrees outside for an hour? Because I was doing it for her. Where do I want to be financially in 20 years? Where do I want to be emotionally, physically? If I do the breathing in the bathroom and look in the mirror and drink that glass of water 6 times a day for the next 20 years, I'm giving myself a great chance of feeling how I want to feel for the whole journey. And for me, life is about how do I want to feel today? And I can't do that unless I've done some planning, because the brain needs a map. So really thinking about our goals, our vision boards, all of the things in the book are about where do you want to take your one amazing, precious life? And what are the habits, which are all in the book, that will help you feel how you want to feel on the marathon of life, so that you feel like you're enjoying the ride, so that you can handle the curveballs when they come and hit you, like the chronic fatigue and the days that I really feel stuck. I'm kind, I'm empathetic, I'm not angry, because I can see the big picture. I can see my 20-year plan. It's right here next to me. It's all on paper. There's vision boards there supporting it. There's affirmations to support how I want to feel. There's values as the boss every day. So if you just start with one thing, don't try and do everything at once. I think just start with one habit today and think about, is that supporting me for the long haul and giving me the result on how I want to feel for the next 20 years? And there's a great quote that I have right here on another sticky note, because I've got sticky notes everywhere. There's a great quote here that I love, and it says, plan in decades. So think of your 10-year-old self. Then it says, think in years. So let's just think about the year ahead, the next 12 months, so that you can work in the month and really think about how am I structuring my month, just my month. And once that's done, you can let go and live in today. And that's where we can enjoy ourselves. We can breathe. We can go to the bathroom. We can look in the mirror. We can wash our hands. We can take some beautiful nurturing breaths, because we've done the work. I know where I want to be. I've got great habits in place that will take me there. I've got great systems in place to, you know, automatically save some income. You know, all of these wonderful, small, tiny things, sleep hygiene, hydrating, all of the things that you have on your show. It is about just focusing on one at a time and thinking about what is my non-negotiable for the next 20 years. And that's your life plan. And when you have a life plan and you know what you want in your life and what my 70-year-old self wants to be doing, I think that we can really embrace all of the opportunities around us. We see the opportunities and we can live mindfully, which is the joy. It doesn't destroy our tank. It keeps stress at bay. And we can really be grateful for what we have.
Thank you so much, Shauna. And now a question, where do we find your book? How can we get it? Now, I know you're there in Australia, and is it available worldwide?
Worldwide, Beyond Words Publishing in the US, which is right around the corner from you, I think.
It is. I found that so fascinating when the book showed up and I saw the publisher. I went, wow, they're just down the street.
Yeah, so it's actually published and distributed in the US, so it should be everywhere. It's Barnes and Nobles, and it should be in the bookstores, or just jump online and you can order it online and get it delivered to your home.
Fantastic. And you can find Shauna on all the social medias and at shaunakennedy.com. You want to spell that out for us so we can...
Yes, it's Shauna, so S-H-A-N-N-A-H, kennedy.com is the website. There are a lot of free downloadables on there. There are free affirmations, there are free screensavers for you, and there's a free vision board kit that you can download.
Fantastic. Everyone, have a great week, whatever your adventures, and thank you for joining us here tonight for this show. Join me next week for another brand new episode. And as always, check out all the other episodes over at understandingautoimmune.com and all the social media at Understanding Autoimmune. Enjoy.
The information provided on the Autoimmune Hour, Understanding Autoimmune, and Life Interrupted Radio, including the websites understandingautoimmune.com and lifeinterruptedradio.com, plus social media, is for educational purposes only. What you read, hear, and see on the Autoimmune Hour, Understanding Autoimmune, and Life Interrupted Radio, and its websites and other media outlets, is based on experience only. The information should never be used for any legal, diagnostic, or treatment purposes.
Thank you, Shanna Kennedy, for being on our show. It's really been fantastic. And her book is called The Life Plan, Simple Strategies for Building Confidence in a Changing World, Shanna Kennedy. And her website is called shannakennedy.com. And Shanna, why don't you spell that out for us? Welcome back, everyone, to the Autoimmune Hour. I'm Sharon Saylor from SharonSaylor.com, and I'm here with Shanna Kennedy, and she is a... Welcome back, everyone, to the Autoimmune Hour. I'm Sharon Saylor from SharonSaylor.com, and I'm here with Shanna Kennedy, and she's one of Australia's foremost strategic executive life and health coaches, and she transforms people's careers and lives, and she specializes in life planning. Her new book is called The Life Plan, Simple Strategies for Building Confidence in a Changing World. Wanted to get that correct, read it, reading it off of the notes here. And it's being published by Beyond Words Publishing. Shanna is a thriver who has overcome chronic fatigue syndrome and depression and is committed to living her best and most energetic life. And that's what her new book is about. So thank you, Shanna, for being on the show.